You're listening to Irish Radio Canada, and last week you would have had the opportunity to hear Peter Dolan talk about Moat Action Group and how they have spent a lot of time trying to evaluate the changes that have occurred in the last number of years in small towns in Ireland and have come up with a five-year action plan. And it's not unique to Ireland what's going on with urbanisation, people moving away from smaller towns into larger cities, and towns as a result trying to redefine themselves and trying also to put themselves on the map where they can be found and where that the facilities and attractions that are on their doorsteps and available to people, that they can get the message out. When I say it's not unique to Ireland, there are towns in Ireland that have very, and in Canada, that have very special relationships with each other, and Smiths Falls is one of those. Smiths Falls is twinning officially with Carnew in County Wicklow in June. The process is underway because there's a very strong relationship, and I'm going to let the Mayor, Sean Pankow, good morning and welcome, tell us about the relationship between Smiths Falls, Carnew, and what Smiths Falls is doing to capitalise on that relationship and some of the history.
Well, good morning, Austin, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on today. And yeah, I think for a long time, the community recognized we have a lot of Irish within our community. We've never really defined that and thought about it too much. But a couple of years ago, thanks to, I guess, the interest of some very dedicated people, Ian Ash being one, we came to realize that there's a very close connection between our community and the lands of the former Fitzwilliam Estate, the Gallatin Estate in County Wicklow. And in understanding that, we realized that there are literally probably hundreds or thousands of forced immigrants, who ended up in our community during the time of the potato famine. And many of those names of those early settlers are still fairly common names within our community. So through this, I guess, this awakening process, we've had the opportunity to connect with Kevin and Eleanor Lee in County Wicklow and Carnew, and initiated a formal twinning with Carnew. So as part of that, last summer, Kevin hosts a homeward trek, and they invite a number of Irish Canadians to come back to their homeland, and primarily ones who are from County Wicklow, to really try and connect to their homeland, try to get a greater understanding of where their roots started. And so last summer, even though my family, my mom's side is from County Wexford, so we decided we'd take this homeward trek. We knew we'd be spending some time in Wicklow, some time in Wexford. But it was an opportunity to go back and certainly trace even my own family roots, but at the same time experience what it's like for others to go back and really get back to their homeland and see where their families originated.
So Sean, I have to ask, was there any moment where the hair went up on the back of your neck?
Absolutely. And I think our third last day when we were traveling in a little bus throughout, and we went down a little country road. We stopped at a home, and Kevin stood up and said, "Can the Lawrence family please leave the bus?" And so the rest of us were sort of wide-eyed looking through the windows of the bus as the Lawrences went out. And Kevin had previously made some connections with some of their long-lost family members.
Right.
And so they had a great welcome, great introductions, and an opportunity to meet. So they had that those connections, and then a short while after, we went a little further down the road, and they stopped at a little cow path. And we started down this little trail, and it was wet and muddy. I guess as Ireland always is. And so
no.
But it was funny because we were all walking and trying to avoid the puddles and trying to avoid the ruts in the road where the tractors have made some. And anyway, long and short of it, we may got a few soakers on the way through. We probably walked a kilometer down this, none of us knowing where we were going or what we were doing. And we came across a little stone, the remains of a little stone building. Of course, the walls still remain and the doorways remain. No remnants of a roof or anything left. And very overgrown and trees in it. And the thing was a pretty tiny building. I think probably not much bigger than my kitchen. And Kevin proceeded to advise the Lawrence family this is where they came from.
Right.
And it was an extremely touching moment to see the reaction and how I guess that the realization that the lives we enjoy and they enjoy today was a result largely of their ancestors. I believe in one case it's a great great grandfather and grandmother,
right.
And nine kids,
right.
Who lived in this small building, and during the potato famine had loaded up everything they owned and into a cart and headed down this little country path that we had just followed. And so we had a toast and little treats and certainly paid homage to the Lawrence family. For them, for us, it was a very touching moment. I can't imagine how they would have felt at that time,
yeah.
Making that connection. And I think it brings us back to sort of the renewal of those relationships that we see now as an opportunity between some of the people of Smiths Falls and the people of Ireland who never left, and making those family connections. And so with this twinning process, we also have a local geological society. We have an extremely devoted, I hardly call her a volunteer, because she's there all day, every day, Shirley Somerville. She's a wonderful woman, and she is already in the process of sort of starting to make some connections and doing some research for the Irish visitors,
right.
Who we are going to have here this June.
On the genealogical side, I'm going to throw in a sideball just there, because again, last week, what we had running was Lynn Brady from the Glasnevin genealogical section of the cemetery, and they have records going back to 1831. So if somebody may feel that their relatives were buried, or somebody way, way, way back was buried in Glasnevin Cemetery, you just go on to do a search in Google for Glasnevin Cemetery, go in on the genealogy site, and all you have to do is put in the last name. And it'll span a 20-year period. So if you put in 1830, it'll tell you if anyone between 1820 and 1840 was buried in Glasnevin. So again, just somewhere to go on the genealogy side if you are trying to get back and think there may be connections. It's a good site to go to. But before we move on, you talked in terms of the famine. But prior to the famine, we're on the banks of the Rideau River at the moment, and on the other side of it is part of the Rideau Canal. And of course, the Irish would have been around this area in the 1830s also.
Yes. So I think that was, Smiths Falls as a settlement started to get some attention in the late 1700s and really came into its own in the 1830s with the development of the canal. And yeah, the Irish and Scottish laborers and engineers and workers who built this really were the foundation of our community. And so we're very fortunate that, I guess, the decision was made to do that, and that really put Smiths Falls on the map. It tamed the river that was coming through here in broad falls and rapids and creating canals and more controlled water flows. And I think it enabled water power, certainly, mm-hmm. So the early mills. And so we became a mill community.
Okay.
And Frosted Wood was actually on the ground we sit right today, was the home of Frosted Wood, which was one of Canada's largest farm implement manufacturers from the mid-1800s to the mid-1900s. And the factory was closed in the 1950s and torn down, and the place we sit today is where that factory had once stood, on the banks of the Rideau River.
Right. So who was Smith?
Thomas Smythe, originally.
Smythe would have
been. Yes,
okay.
Yes. He was one of the early settlers, and I believe he was an American,
okay.
United Empire Loyalist, who was given a land grant here, but he didn't, my understanding is, my memory is correct, he didn't really even settle here. He owned the land, he never really got anything going here. He ended up selling the property off, losing it, I guess, eventually. So his name lives on, but I don't think he ended up having a lot of success here.
So let's go back to Culloden and Carnew. And Culloden was one of the largest estates in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And the Fitzwilliam landlord, Lord Fitzwilliam, had huge influence in Ireland. So when the famine arrived, he took an action which was to assist some of his tenants in passage to North America. Now, I know there were some other landlords who also did it, because there was a move afoot to clear the land at the time, and some estates were going into financial difficulty, so it was solving problems. But Lord Fitzgerald also had a vested interest, because at that time, as I understand it, the railway was developing, and
yes.
In effect, what he was able to do was transfer labour.
Well, and that's where, I guess, you look at the location of Smiths Falls being very central in eastern Ontario. between Ottawa and Kingston, between Montreal and Toronto. And we like to think of Smiths Falls as a hub and roads leading in so many different directions from here. And I think as a result of that location, it was one of the primary reasons why the burgeoning industry of the railway in the late 1850s and into the 1860s proved to be an opportunity for Lord Fitzwilliam, and I think my understanding is he owned an interest in the railways in Canada, mm-hmm. and certainly recognized a need to provide some nice cheap Irish labor for the work over here, and as a result, he certainly made it easier to shepherded a number of people from his estate. Across the Atlantic and down the St. Lawrence and eventually to the Smiths Falls and area. And we know that in the early 1860s, by this time, over half our community was of Irish descent. And if you go into the rural areas here, where probably many of them would have settled as farmers as well, it was over 60%, which were Irish. So our Irish roots run very deep within our community. And that influence is still there today. And we had our Emerald Gala last night. It was a wonderful evening to sort of kick off Irish celebrations at Smiths Falls this year. And it asked the room who had some Irish blood within them, and I think about half the room mm-hmm. put a hand up. So, I mean, that impact is still with us today.
Now, when people would have come here in the 1830s, 40s, 50s, it was before the land would have been cleared. So they were coming into Canadian rough terrain, having to clear it, and we all are very conscious of the weather in this country, and to arrive in here when ships could come in, which was during the shorter summer, mm-hmm. and head into a winter and work their way up, it was rough terrain to arrive into.
I can't imagine how difficult it would have been and how I guess how tough these people were, their ability to adapt and survive. And even when we were in Ireland last summer, we had a tour of the Dumbrody, and to imagine being in the hull of that ship to cross the Atlantic, and many people probably had never seen the ocean, let alone been in a ship, mm-hmm. in the hull of a ship, and packing a couple hundred people into a very small area, very little daylight. I can't imagine how challenging that would be. Mm-hmm. The illness mm-hmm. and seasickness and you mm-hmm. name it. And then to arrive in Canada and be quarantined mm-hmm. in many cases, a gross ill, and having to, if you're lucky enough to survive that experience, finally make your way up here. And of course, if you're one of the boats that left later in the season, you're arriving in time for winter. Mm-hmm. And being able to survive a Canadian winter, which would be nothing like they've ever experienced before, mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling.
It's
mind-boggling.
And how they even survived is mind-boggling.
I have to ask as well, when you were in County Wicklow and even in Wexford, did you see anyone you recognised on the street?
Ah.
And you know the question I'm asking.
Yeah.
You know, I know his cousin.
Well, the one I did, to some extent, was actually a hologram. In Enniscorthy, right. at the Center for the Rebellion in 1798, and in the multimedia display there, they have one hologram of a young boy, young man who was killed at the Battle of Vinegar Hill.
Okay.
And his name was John Shane, which is my fourth or fifth great grandfather's name,
okay.
Who was born later in 1798.
Yeah. Right.
So it sort of gives me that connection that it very well, they were from Wexford, from that area, and probably a relative who could have died in that battle. And my
right, but I mean, on the street, did you recognize?
On the street?
Yeah, did you see the faces of any, you know, because I find when I go back to Ireland now at times,
yeah,
I'm looking at somebody and I have no idea who they are, but their faces.
Well, the faces, oh, certainly, faces look
very familiar.
Absolutely, yes. And the mannerisms, the yeah. behaviors, the personalities.
Yes.
Absolutely. The DNA is very consistent with what we'd experience right. here, without a doubt. Yes.
Right. Are we going to move and have a
sure.
look? And before, as we're moving, is there? I know I dropped it on you last night. Is there any piece of music that we should be listening to as we're getting to our next spot?
Unfortunately, I couldn't come up with any
okay.
record.
Well,
local
then
music,
I'm going to. Do you know what I'm going to put in there? The Rideau Canal song.
Beautiful.
Robin Averill, who came from north of Ireland and now lives in Ottawa, and wrote this beautiful song about the Rideau Canal and the Irish workers who built the Rideau Canal.
Very appropriate. Now, you can always use Big Joe Muffer off from Stomp and Tom. He makes reference to Smiths Falls in there as well.
That's right. If you're listening to At Home and Abroad, we're going to relocate ourselves and pick up from outdoors and find out what some of the beautiful scenery is like around here. And enjoy Robin Arbour.
They came to a country across the sea. They needed the work to feed the family. So the Irish left their homeland far away. Oh, they came to a world all water and trees. In the summer they'd sweat and in the winter they'd freeze. But they had hard cold stone to move. They were digging a Rideau Canal on the way to Kingston Town. Many a poor young Irishman lay buried in the ground. They were digging the Rideau Canal and it seemed just like a dream to carve a waterway to the world for the coming century. The fires roared as he forced their way along the rocky shores. They battled fever and sickness all the way. And at night their music just filled the skies as they sang about home and family ties. But he lived and died to Moonstone. They were digging the Rideau Canal all the way to Kingston Town. Many a poor young Irishman lay buried in the ground. They were digging the Rideau Canal and it seemed just like a dream to carve a waterway to the world for the coming century. Feel my spirits rise, 'cause I know that their heart is here with me. Oh, in the mist in the morning, in the rain at night, I hear them on the lake and when the wind's just right, knowing they did not labor here in vain. They were digging a Rideau Canal all the way to Kingston Town. And many a poor young Irishman lay buried in the ground. They were digging the Rideau Canal and it seemed just like a dream to carve a waterway to the world for the coming century.
We're walking along the banks of the Rideau River and there's water running rapidly, which of course is the very reason that the canal was built. But there's a beautiful bridge traversing the river and you've done some work on that, Sean.
Well, yes, that's our stone arch bridge. It's something that traditionally you wouldn't see very well from the roads. But as you walk along the edge of the Rideau here, you can see the architecture that was built by Irish and Scottish early immigrants in the late 1800s. It's a beautiful old structure. The bank, of course, traversing the Rideau.
Yeah.
Right at the Parts Canada Rideau Canal headquarters is right adjacent to it.
Oh, yeah. So we're walking along here. If somebody comes up to Spitz Falls and wants to do walks around here, are there any trails that they can follow, and have you guys defined any, or are you working on it?
Actually, we're working on that right now. So there was one years ago that's sort of outdated, and so it is in the process right now. I think by this summer it will be available, and will feature a lot of the landmarks in our community.
So again, if somebody says, well, I'd like to see where the various landmarks relative to the Irish settlement are, that they'd be identified and they can walk around.
Yeah, so go to our town hall on Beckwith Street,
yeah,
and go to our welcome center at our Chamber of Commerce, and they'll have some information there.
Now, the other thing that's big at the moment in a lot of places are bicycles, cycling. What are you doing for cyclists?
Well, we've got a young woman who I know well, who is in the process of launching a seasonal business here.
Okay.
Where she will be renting bicycles, renting canoes and kayaks.
Okay.
So the opportunity to come to Swiss Falls, tour around on bike, go down the Cataraqui Trail by bike, which is also a very nice experience.
So when you say go down the trail, so what's the municipality doing, or how would you rate yourself on bike paths and for safety for a cyclist?
So we've got pathways along the water.
And we're just passing.
And we're passing Sportex, yes, which is the premier, probably one of the premier bicycle stores within Eastern Ontario.
Indeed, a fantastic selection in there.
Incredible selection of high-end and quality bikes.
So going back, Ireland, first-class clothes store.
See?
June 1st to 8th. It's probably running. You need to get your it's including a round trip from Toronto, transfers, 8 full Irish breakfasts, full course dinner meals, and admissions. Here we are in the standing in front of Echo Tours and Travels. So was that put there deliberately?
No, we weren't catering to 3 years or less. And I guess it just surely shows the appeal of Ireland to people of our community.
Indeed. So anyway, sorry, I interrupt. So if I'm here a cyclist, am I going to feel safe cycling the streets?
Yes. And it's a small community. We do have people who tend to move slower, obviously. Yeah. We've also got some trails along the waterfront. And then at the Cataraqui Trail, which is just on the southern edge of our town, you can ride that over 100 kilometers to north of Napanee.
And beautiful.
So it's an incredible trail system, goes along some beautiful countryside, and so that has a great appeal as well to people.
So Smiths Falls used to have the Hershey factory.
Yes.
And it's no longer here. What are the main employers now, and what's the history from an employment perspective here?
Well,
where would, other than farming, where would the Irish have sustained themselves?
Well, we were a very strong industrial town. We were a railway community, as we talked earlier.
Yeah.
And I think if you go back to the 1920s, I think we had about 2,000 local men who were working for the railway in Smiths Falls. And of course, as industry changes and things automate and jobs get lost eventually over time. So the railway is still a major employer within our community,
right.
Not what it was at that point. But we were a very strong manufacturing town. So Croston Wood, as I mentioned, Hershey's, RCA Victor, there's a wide variety of plants. Royal Light, there's a wide Croydon Industries, there's a variety of plants that were here over the years that sort of came and
closed. What brought them here?
Pardon?
What brought them here?
I think a good labor force, a good hard-working labor force.
Irish.
hard to deny that. But it's...
So then, as you say, with the change in the economy, you know,
yes.
And the dynamics of the economy where there's automation and there's technology, as we mentioned in the first segment, you know, not just in Ireland, but in Canada, smaller towns are really suffering that there's not a lot to retain the youth and the opportunities for advancement are limited. How is Smiths Falls faring in that environment?
Well, I guess a couple of things. We've sat back and over the last number of years since we had the changes with the loss of Hershey's and Rideau Regional Centre, another major employer, and a few others, and where's our future? And some of it happens by luck and by chance and by some good decisions, and that was the location with Tweed, kind of leading medical marijuana company located here, now employing about 300 people, and probably will be doubling that in the next few years as recreational marijuana is licensed. But as well, tourism. So
right.
I think one of the things we sometimes fail to recognize is how beautiful our community is.
Yes.
And when we're here all the time, maybe we have a tendency to take it for granted. And we know that anybody who visits our community or moves here is really awestruck with the beauty of it and some of that natural beauty of the Rideau Canal system and some of the built heritage that we're so fortunate to have.
And I think one of the things on the tourist side is, and I'll put my hand up and be guilty here, is we're lazy, and consequently, because you know we're blessed in Ottawa with a beautiful city, but this is just an hour.
Oh, exactly.
It's only an hour.
Yes,
and we're losing out on so much by kind of remaining insular in our own little communities.
Well, and that's when we look at who are our tourists going to be. Well, we're looking at regional tourists who come here, stay for a weekend like yourself, and come to experience what it's like to have what's life in Smiths Falls and some of the features and attractions we have here. Yeah, we're here by the canal. Of course, the gate isn't opened yet due to the season not being here yet.
Well, I guess we're going to have to climb the fence. So during the season, how much traffic comes through here?
A lot. We look at Bagley Street, which is our main street, which is a beautiful wide street, very unique street. We get upwards of 20,000 vehicles a day.
passing through.
And what the drop here in the canal? We're standing at the one of the locks.
So this is the new combined lock was built in the 1970s. Okay. I think it's about 40 feet, 45 feet possibly.
Right.
As you can see, it is a significant drop. Yeah. And next to us, which we'll go to shortly, is the old combined lock, which was three locks.
Right.
And we built this, it combined all into one. We built a new bridge at that time. A bridge which actually, coincidentally, we are rehabilitating this year. That's now been in place for 40 years.
So, again, from a river traffic perspective, you know, the season here is what? I think it's Victoria Day that it opens.
Yes.
And then what, up until Labor Day?
Correct. Until Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. So how much traffic are you seeing on the water?
Well, significant. We've seen there's a bit of a decrease for a couple of years, but we saw a decrease in the last couple of years. And this year, with Canada's 150 and free lockage, we expect an incredible increase in the volume of boats coming through.
So with boats coming through, particularly at the weekend, I presume you're looking at a variety of festivals, events in and around the area here where boats would potentially come through over the period of the 150th.
Absolutely. So we've really ramped up our festivals and events for 2017 and to celebrate Canada's 150. And last night, again, the Emerald Gala was over the first start on that.
One of the ones we should talk to while we're working on dates is, I know there's a group coming over from Ireland at the end of June.
Yes, so we'll touch on that too.
So that's going to be a momentous occasion.
Absolutely. So we're really looking forward to their visit. Some of them, Kevin and Eleanor Lee, are people who were organizing the trip that I took part in last summer.
Yeah.
But they're bringing over a number of visitors who are hoping to make connections with family, of course, over here and learn more about Smiths Falls and the area, because they won't be spending all their time here.
Right.
But our events...
But your goal is, instead of Ottawa being the focal point, you want Smiths Falls to be the focal point where people can go out from.
Yeah, exactly. So if you think about it, we'll have people go to Ottawa for a day and learn certainly about the nation's capital. But when we travel, we tend to like to get to some of the smaller places and you tend to meet the people better and understand things a little bit deeper than you would in a big city.
Yeah.
So we're hoping the same thing here. And if you look, I mean, the natural beauty we have here, we're standing right now above the old combined lock, which is the only unused lock in the regional system. And we have plans to animate this in the next few years. Parks Canada has some work to do in the walls but we're gonna, the plan right now is to open this up, turn it into an outdoor amphitheater.
I'm just seeing a stage down there.
Exactly. Live theater, music, maybe corporate events, weddings, the whole works. It's just a very unique experience. And again, if you look at these stone walls, built by our early Irish and Scottish settlers, and carving the stone out, transporting the stone here from, I think, a quarry in Beckwith Township, and building this where it still stands.
Morning.
180 years later.
This reminds me, like, when I go to Ireland, my mum's house is in Athlone, dead centre of the country, and the Shannon comes down, and there's an area like this because there's rapids at the Shannon. Yeah. But in Athlone, it's an hour from Dublin, an hour from Galway. It's dead centre, and it's so easy to kind of say, well, I'll go up to Dublin and come back down tonight. Whereas when you're in Dublin, you're kind of saying, well, where do I park the car and how do I get? And you spend half the day just getting out of it.
Well, for sure, and I'm stuck in traffic, and of course we don't have those issues here, except when we have a swing bridge that is out because the boats are coming through. That's about as bad as it gets. But we're planning a real series of events coming up in the season. So starting June 17th is our Healthy Living Festival, and probably many of your listeners have been here before. It's the first season. It's a great day of activities in downtown Smiths Falls. We have Highland on the Rideau the next day.
Yes.
Really, Paddle Fest the next day. Paying great homage and respect to our early settlers and a connection to the First Nations people and the whole sport and tradition of paddling. And there's Voyager canoes, which you can get out and enjoy to a whole variety of activities and learning experiences. And that's the weekend before Irish visitors arrive, because if they can come 2 weeks, we would have put all that in. But of course, they're coming for about 10 days, and we're going to kick off June 24th with Highland on the Rideau. So that's going to be themed as a Highland game. So it's a smaller scale than what you might experience in other areas, but it's still the same event. very affordable experience for people to come out and enjoy. So our Irish visitors will have a chance to see that. We're going to have an Irish Ceilidh the next day.
Excellent.
We're having Irish music the night after the Highland of the Rideau. We're having an Irish Ceilidh picnic the next day.
Now, did you get your Ceilidh when you were in Ireland?
Not directly. We were partaking in a few on a smaller scale, I guess. And
just had sessions.
And sessions.
Yes. They had set dancing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and just that whole cultural experience.
Yes.
So in some ways, I know that the Irish are going to come here and experience some Canadian culture, but at the same time, we know that some of these events are designed to attract some of the Irish diaspora within. Certainly Eastern Ontario and beyond, and I know people who were on the homeward trek last summer, some of them are coming as far away, I think it's from Nebraska, to come to Smiths Falls,
right.
To make those connections. At one time, their family passed through here, and
yes.
So some of these events are really tailored to try and help bring these, not just Irish together, but people of Irish descent, and anybody who certainly appreciates a green beer.
The whole concept, when you say from Nebraska and things, of course, well, the Irish came to Canada mainly through Grosseal, and then filtered down to various parts. And having established in communities like Smiths Falls, Ottawa, then branches went off to other places.
Exactly.
And they arrived and settled, and then branches went off somewhere else. So when families do start weaving their roots back through to trace them back to Ireland, often, as you know, it's a circuitous route that leads them through your community.
Exactly, and I think technology has now enabled people to trace those roots much better, much easier than they could have years ago.
Indeed.
And I think that's why we're seeing such an interest in the genealogy now. And say, Joe Kenny, the one of the Americans who's coming, his family came through here, and so many other people who want to come back to Smiths Falls, maybe they haven't been here before, but they know that their roots come here.
Now, you mentioned Joe Kenny. Well, we haven't mentioned names yet, but last night one of the families that was mentioned and honored was the Balfe family.
Yes.
What other names from the area were prominent?
Most of them moved on.
Yeah.
So Mary Compel and Ann Crashaw are two of the ones who have been very prominent in helping us recognize this twinning, and will be partaking in the ceremonies we will have in June. So our Chamber of Commerce has a golf tournament every year, and it's June 28th, and so it's going to be on the homestead of the Balfe families, which
right.
is Smiths Falls Golf and Country
right.
Club. So they were on lands, I think, that were originally granted to Benedict Arnold as a loyalist of the British during the American Revolutionary War, and the Balfe family occupied that as their farm, and I think in the 1930s, I believe, it was converted into a golf course.
Right.
There's still a plaque that's there today, so there's going to be a rededication of a plaque, and we're going to certainly have an Irish theme to the golf tournament that both during the day and that evening with the music.
When you were in Carnew, did you visit any graveyards there?
Lots.
Yes. So what names were on stones there that would be replicated on stones here?
And that's really what brought this whole thing together. So Kevin and Eleanor Lee visited Smiths Falls, I believe it was in summer 2015. And 2014, and it was their visit to the St. Francis Cemetery here, which really gave them that realization that there's a close connection to Carnew. And some of the names, certainly common names in our community, Dagg, Doyle, Eagers, Jackson, Murphy, Pearson, Pierce, Rickby, Talon, Timmons, Whalen. These were common names in both areas, and I think it was that the epiphany that went off in Kevin's head when he was in the cemetery here and saying, this is unbelievable. It's remarkable how we have the same names in all our cemeteries. And that's really what started this whole process of understanding we have such a close connection to that part of Ireland.
So the majority of, we didn't mention a number earlier on, but when Fitzwilliam provided passage, as I understand it, was something in the region of about 6,000 of his tenants were sent to North America.
Yes.
And of that, while they would have dispersed to some degree, is there any estimate on how many of that 6,000 may have come to Smiths Falls?
I don't have numbers, but I think if we look back through our book, we have a book of the history of Smiths Falls, a lot of the names featured, and certainly the Irish immigration was also featured in that book, and it talks certainly about a large number. And you think our population in the early 1860s was over 1,000, and we know that over half of those people were Irish, so certainly, when you take a whole area, I suspect it's probably greater than 1,000 who would have come through here.
And at that time, that was a lot.
Oh.
Because, you know, again, talking about, as we did earlier on, as there are migrations to urban centres, for those who were living on farms, Smiths Falls is an urban centre. For those who used to live in Smiths Falls, it's Kingston is an urban centre.
Yes.
And those in Kingston, it's Toronto. So the matter of a perception of what is an urban centre. So when you mentioned 500, I'm sure there were many who may have been outside what would have been the urban boundaries that may not be included in your numbers.
Oh, exactly, because the townships were the rural areas, and those farmers would, this would be the hub again as it is today, but I'm sure a lot of the Irish being farmers would have settled in the rural areas.
Indeed. So then the influence of the Irish after, as time went on, in industry and other things like that, is it still evident?
Well, you look at throughout our community, I'm sure the fingerprints of the Irish and the work of their efforts through the years are a big part of our community. Half of the people of our town were Irish at one point in time, and virtually the similar number today, that descended from those people or from elsewhere. Across our architecture, certainly the canal that we're part of, certainly our political leadership over the years had a number of Irish involved in it, and some of our physicians, some of our leaders in our community. So really this town largely was built on the efforts of the Irish immigrants.
I can't help but think, like, you know that the Pfizer plant set up in Ireland many years ago, and as a result of that, most of the Viagra for left the world was manufactured there, and there was a claim that it had an influence on the population around there. So given that Smiths Falls is getting into medical marijuana, is there an expectation that this will become a happy community, happier than
it
is?
Well, absolutely, and I mean, it's very positive for us from an employment standpoint and from an assessment standpoint, but really it puts us on the map, and I mean, we look at medical marijuana certainly as a very valued drug for a lot of people.
Indeed.
But recreational marijuana is going to be, a little over a year from now, it's likely going to be legalized, and we are going to be somewhat known as the pot capital of Canada, and I've got no problem with that. I mean, it's going to be a legal substance. It's eventually going to be available in a variety of ways, and the province is going to distribute it, and the feds are going to regulate it, and not that we're going to end up having let's say people smoking in our parks, so that's already prohibited. But really, good morning.
Morning.
It's going to be a very positive thing for our community.
Indeed. And unlike some of the more traditional industries that have come and gone, sustainability is a big thing when it comes to talking about. You mentioned how you sat down as a council to try and look out in the long term and see where is there a sustainable future, and you're zoning in on tourism. Are there any other areas that you have identified, given the natural resources and other resources that are on your doorstep?
Well, one area we also want to focus on is food production and processing and pharmaceuticals. So when you look at, we're not going to be a traditional manufacturing town. Mm-hmm.
Those days are gone.
Exactly. So innovation, and I look at Tweed being a great example of innovation, and really Tweed is high-tech farming. Mm. And we look at food production and processing as something that's also close to our hearts as a necessity we need within our country, and we see that as being a position where we could capitalize on that as well.
Now, one of the things that was mentioned at the Emerald Gala last night was the food that was on the plate was all local, and it was all organic, naturally grown, and that's something that is very important here also.
Well, we have Two Rivers Food Hub, which is a house that occupies a kitchen, which is formerly the Reno Regional Center, now the Gallipole Center. And there's a number, it's growing all the time, of local food producers, whether they we're talking meat production or a variety of other things. They have that commercial kitchen. They can go and prepare their wares for sale.
Right.
And, of course, the regulations today, a lot of the small businesses have to be in a regulated kitchen in order to be able to do that. And so we see that as a real opportunity. And last night's a perfect example where we could have local food. And so when we think of food production and processing as being an opportunity within our community, that's a perfect example where you've got a lot of small producers who can come together and ultimately be able to provide collectively enough production of whatever it is they want to do for a larger need. So whether that is you get 10 producers growing cabbage for a restaurant in Ottawa, or whether it's a local beef farmer, organic farmer who's able to prepare his stuff there, it's a variety of opportunities. So we may not be one major producer. It may collectively be an opportunity for all those small producers in the area to have a place to prepare their foods and prepare.
What's going through my head is like it's what goes around comes around. It's like the old co-op.
Yes. Yes.
It's effectively the what was the co-op of the past, where it was predominantly dairy production or other such items that the creamery. So it would be the modern co-op.
Right, and it's accessible, and that's what makes it easy for people and very affordable for producers. So they all contributed a little bit in order to have a collective good for everybody.
So again, if somebody comes up to Smiths Falls, be it on a boat or drives up here, cycles up here, wherever, and they're looking for a restaurant to eat that has what would be local, homegrown, sustainable menu. Easily found.
Yes, yes, and we've got a lot of great restaurants, a great variety in our community. It was Noel Pantry last night, which did the catering. They've got a restaurant on Main Street, so there's a good example. But a lot of the local restaurants source local foods where available, and certainly support our local economy. On the beer front, we had a chance last night to enjoy any of the Four Degrees Brewing Company products, but they come in and brought some of their beer. There's a local brewery which is going to be opening a new place in our mall, which is the County Fair Mall, and brewing there and selling locally. Again, their goal is to employ about 30 people locally and serve. And you look at the local restaurants; they're all providing selling their product now. So it's not a protectionist model; it's more a matter of we can try and help support our local producers.
So we're going to take another little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Railway Museum.
Sounds
which
good.
Is another fantastic attribute and attraction you have here. And you're going to leave it to me to find a piece of music?
Yes.
You're listed at Home and Abroad here on Irish Radio Canada. We're talking with Sean Fankel, the mayor of Smiths Falls. You're listening to Irish Radio Canada at Home and Abroad, and we're in Smiths Falls. And we're walking over towards Victoria Park, and we're going to hear all about the Railway Museum that's here in Smiths Falls. And I'm with the mayor, Sean Fankel. Sean, the museum. Eastern Ontario's only railway museum, as I understand it.
Yes, yes. A very treasured asset in our community. And one that, I guess, if you look back growing up here, that was the old CNR station, and it had been vacated decades ago. The old rail line from here to Kingston was torn up, I think, back in the 70s. But a group of very dedicated volunteers and visionaries said, we have an opportunity here with this old station building to do something better with it.
Right.
And so they had, I guess, the vision, the fortitude, the commitment, and the patience to turn it into what today is the Railway Museum of Eastern Ontario. And it's a real gem in our community. Everybody loves trains. And it's certainly it's such a big part of our history within Smiths Falls. There's a very suitable thing to have located within our community. And so we look at it today. They've run a great series of events through the season, including the Emerald Gala last night as a fundraiser.
Yep.
But as well, it's a good place to visit. And whether you want to spend a night in a caboose, which you can do, if you want to use it as a corporate event for a party, or have your kid's birthday party there, or just come and tour the trains. There's an operating train that runs as well. They get a little train ride on the short track.
A steam train?
No, it's an old diesel, but it's
okay.
Probably about 60 years old, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
There's also an old dentist car.
Okay.
So that's been preserved.
Yeah.
Very unique, and it was I can't recall the name of the dentist who had primarily used it, but it was use in Northern Ontario to go to a lot of the First Nations reserves and
okay,
provide
so was
dental
it
services.
Okay, so mobile dental care.
Exactly.
Right.
And as much as it may look a little primitive compared to the dental experiences we have today,
yeah.
I guess in those days, that was the only opportunity some of these people in remote communities would have to see a dentist.
To access that kind of
yeah.
care.
So that's a very neat part of it. As I mentioned, there's a variety of, they have festivals throughout the season, but an opportunity to people simply to visit and gain that experience. And it's a very important asset in our community and attracts a lot of visitors.
Does that mean anything?
I don't know.
There's a plaque on the other side of it.
We take a look on that side.
because oftentimes it's these things of interest that it's Heritage Canada, the Rideau River Water. Of course, the Rideau River is a World Heritage Site.
Yes, so that's so this the World Heritage Site. This is before the designation. I think designation was 2007, if I'm not mistaken. But certainly gives a little bit of information here.
Has that designation had any impact for you guys?
Well, I think it certainly creates more attention and more traffic, and yeah. I think to some extent it holds the federal government a little bit more accountable about preserving this incredible asset. And you think of this asset which has so much infrastructure from Kingston to Ottawa, that if it's not managed and preserved properly, it will deteriorate. And for us and everybody else who is along the Rideau system, it's critical that the federal government supports this.
Indeed.
As a major tourism asset. And Parks Canada, their role in managing this, has done an incredible job the last couple of years of really ramping up what they're doing here.
I noticed two plaques over here, and I noticed some of these when we were walking around town yesterday, that you have placed around the town and some information signs.
Yes, yes.
So this would be part of a walking trail.
Exactly. So we're entering Centennial Park now.
Yeah.
And certainly a beautiful part of our community along the Rideau, and pays some homage to some of our history. Of course, right in front of us, as
the picture says. So it's the Heritage Trail, remembering our historic past. And of course, it's bilingual, and explaining about the water system. So, and I see this is point 10 of 15. So you have 15 markers along that,
yes.
And a trail to follow on in the process.
And I think you know we're a very walkable community,
yes.
and a lot of the, I guess this is all centered in the middle of our community. So you can go out and enjoy for an afternoon and stop for a coffee or a drink somewhere or lunch. The old water treatment plant, which is right here in front of us, which just this talks about. Has been mothballed now for, I guess, about 7 years, but will currently be put out in the very near future for expressions of interest for development.
Right.
So we look at it as being one of the very few pieces along the Rideau where a developer can come in and provide us with their vision. And so we look forward to that being converted into commercial or restaurants or condominiums or office, and we'll see what people come forward with.
Yeah. So, Sean Estevere, what would you say is your biggest challenge?
Well, I think it's from an economic standpoint, when we dealt with close to 2,000 job losses over a span of 5 years, and that certainly has an impact on the local economy, and in some cases the spirit of people who experienced those losses. And so we want to strike the balance between managing our assets and managing our budget efficiently,
yeah.
At the same time investing in our community to make this the most attractive place to live and visit in Eastern Ontario.
Right.
And I think in some ways we're a bit of an unknown commodity, and we know that people who come here and people move here just love the community.
Mm-hmm.
People who live here love the community. But I think we can do a much better job of appealing to people who maybe live in Ottawa and are getting tired of that rat race of living in the city and say, well, what's it like to live in a small community?
And yet one of the challenges there, I know, is from an Irish perspective, is that people would say, with centralization of some services, particularly healthcare, that if people move to smaller communities, that they don't necessarily have access to a comprehensive healthcare system, which in often cases undermines the very ability to attract people.
Yes. So we're very fortunate we have the Perth and Smith Falls District Hospital with two sites, one in Perth and one here.
Yeah.
And a wide variety of services and even a new chemo clinic which opened in Perth recently to serve our combined communities and the greater community. But funny enough, we end up having people from outside of our community referred here. here for certain procedures because the waiting times are shorter.
Our
ER times are shorter than far shorter, I think, than what people experience in Ottawa. So
yeah,
we're very fortunate to have that healthcare close to home and the additional services that people would need. And the other thing, of course, we are 35 minutes from Kanata, 45 mm-hmm. minutes from Nepean, and we're so close to Ottawa.
So then the education here, what's the school set up here?
So we've got a number of both public and public separate Catholic school board, as well as of Eastern Ontario, as well as the Upper Canada District School Board, a number of schools. Local high school here is on the public side. The high school in Perth, St. John's, serves both and the broader community.
Right.
From a post-secondary standpoint, we do have a branch of Algonquin College in Perth.
Nice.
We have Willis College in Smith Falls. So we're doing a good job of educating our people. And one of the opportunities we want to certainly pursue in the future is we want our kids to go away and get educated.
Right.
We want them to come back eventually.
Naturally.
And I'm probably an example of that. I left as a teenager saying, I can't wait to get out of this town. But the appeal brings me back, or brought me back. So we look at, and a lot of people in our community today and leaders in our community are people who were raised here and went away to get their education and to learn a little bit about the bigger world. Somehow that magnet keeps pulling at us. And
what you're saying is the grass is not greener on the other side.
Absolutely not. It's much greener here.
Well, we're going to wrap up. Is there anywhere have you to tell me anything else?
There's a site we're on right now.
Yeah.
I'll just mention it briefly. My wife and some friends, who you actually probably met some last night, formed a group called Together Smith Falls in 2010.
Yeah.
And started doing outdoor movies here. So every Thursday night through the summer, we have hundreds of people. The little knoll there is where we put the big inflatable screen.
Yep.
This area will be filled with hundreds of people watching a free outdoor movie. There's activities beforehand for the kids. For about 2 hours, the movie comes on at dusk. We run it every Thursday night, and it's a fabulous experience on the banks of the Rideau Canal. And they're right now picking the movies out. They're always family-friendly movies, and it's the thing to do every Thursday night through the summer. It has a broad appeal. We have boaters who come through, and they time their trips to make sure that they stop here on a Thursday and enjoy that experience. So we're also looking to do a special movie probably for the Irish visitors.
That'd be good.
And we were talking last night about doing actually a special movie night at the Railway Museum, maybe some old black and white silent movies, possibly
just to
try and bring it into that element.
That'd be fun. All you need is some Charlie Chaplin, Where the World
Exactly. Now you're reading my mind.
Indeed.
So you'll have to go back for that.
Excellent. Well, Sean, I want to thank you for taking the time. It's been fantastic. It's been an education, and I would encourage anyone to come up here and explore. We are spoiled, as I say, in Ottawa, because we sometimes don't look beyond our noses.
We have a lot of activities in June, July, and Canada Day. We're having a major celebration here. So if you feel that you want to maybe get out of Ottawa because of the craziness that's going to happen Canada Day, but you still want to celebrate Canada's 150, come to Smith Falls and do it with us.
And find you on Facebook and on the web.
Town of Smith Falls website.
And I know
Facebook,
there's a Twitter account out there as well.
Exactly, yes.
Indeed. Thanks for the show.
Thanks, Austin. Awesome.